Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm not wearing green either, but when I was a kid growing up, my dad was very proud of his North Irish heritage. And so I was the only kid that would wear orange on St. Patrick's Day. And because my dad was very proud, and he made it clear that we weren't wearing green, we were wearing orange. And so I'm not wearing either today, but happy St. Patrick's Day anyway. We are wrapping up today, our sermon series, Connect. This is the last series of that. And if you haven't been here the last few weeks, let me just kind of catch you up to where we've been. We've been spending time with our mission statement, which is to make more and better disciples. And we've been talking about our four big goals. And those goals really, it's our desire of how we're going to do that. How are we going to make more and better disciples? And we said, well, it's really all about connecting, hence the title for the series, and hence the great big Legos on the platform. And we said, if we're really going to be making more and better disciples, really what we're going to be doing is connecting to God, connecting to each other, connecting to our community, connecting to our world. And so each week, the last 4 weeks, we've been kind of looking at that and unpacking that and saying, what does that really mean? We said, if we're really connecting to God, our worship service and our personal lives will be focused on giving God all that there is of us, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything that there is of us, we're going to give that over to God. And we're going to want to create worship experiences that every week, every single week, the focus will be on God and enabling ourselves to connect with a God that cares for us and loves us. And so to that end, that's part one of the reasons of flipping the services and changing them around a little bit. And so April 7th will be the day that the services change. As Jake mentioned, on Easter Sunday, we're actually going to the time change. We didn't want to have a sign out front, which goes up tomorrow. We didn't want to have a sign out front inviting all of our neighbors and friends to Easter services at 8:30 and 11, when the very next week we were changing times to 9 and 10:30. We thought that was kind of dumb. And so 9 o'clock, 10:30 on Easter Sunday, but then the very next Sunday, we're going to be flipping the choir will be in the first service, the band will be in the second, and things will be different from there on. But the idea is that we want to connect with God each and every week. We said not only do we want to connect with God, how vital that is, that we want to connect with each other as well. If we're serious about making better disciples, making more and better disciples, then we're going to have to make better disciples in small groups. We believe that's where better disciples are made, small groups. And so our goal is that 80% of us, but really our goal is 100%. 100% of us would be involved in a small group. And so to that end, we're starting 10 new Sunday school classes because now we're going to those two Sunday school hours. And so we're starting 10 new classes, some on Sunday morning, some even before. We're having an early bird class that's going to meet even before the early service. We're having some classes meet on Sunday night. There's some small groups that are meeting during the week, but we're starting 10 new groups. Kind of crazy, but we're starting 10. And the whole idea is because we really believe that if you're going to become a better disciple, that'll mean that you'll get involved in a small group that will care for you and pray with you and where you can learn scripture together. We said we want to connect to our community. And we demonstrated that a couple weeks ago with Mission Blitz, where we went to several different organizations in the area and really blitzed our community. But really, it's more than just a one-day deal. You know, connecting to our community is helping out in our food pantry, bringing in food. We have so many people that come in through there, or mentoring at Rising Star or local elementary school, or going to the mission once a month as our church goes to the Kansas City Rescue Mission, or in a million other ways where you can connect with the community. And then last week, as Pastor Andy mentioned, we said one of our big goals is connecting with the world. And this summer, it's El Salvador, and then for the next 3 to 5 years, probably closer to 5 years, it's going to be Cuba. And we wanted to find a place where God is working. He's working in both those places in awesome ways. But we wanted to find a place where God is working and say, we want to come alongside you and work with you and help. And you, we learn from you and you learn from us. And we want to connect with our world for the furtherance of God's kingdom. So we've been laying out these four big goals. And we've been talking a lot about the changes that are coming for Central. Worship style changes and worship time changes and Sunday school changes and changing the way we do missions and changing our focus really on the community. And the truth is, most of us don't like change all that much. I don't like change. And we're changing everything. You know, we're moving everybody's cheese. On April 7th, everybody's got to change at least a little bit for that. for that day. And the question is, why? Why are we going through all that? Well, just this week, I was at a conference that really reiterated in many ways what we are, the course that we've set upon and what we're trying to do. Actually, the speaker was our former pastor, Dr. David Busick. And he was talking about how things have changed in the last 50 years, from 1960 to today. In 1960, which is before I was born, just briefly, but before I was born, most people believed that the Bible was the Word of God. Even if they weren't Christians, most people believed that. If you talk to people, strangers or whatever, you talk to them, what's the Bible? The Bible's the Word of God. That's what they believed. Most people had some sort, in 1960, had some sort of church background. They knew Bible stories. They knew that, you know, Jonah's in the whale and Noah's the ark and all of those things. They may not attend, they may not have much connection to a church anymore, but they knew the Bible stories. Most people, even if they weren't Christians, believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You didn't have to convince them of that. You didn't have to talk to them about that. They just believed that. That's what people believed in 1960. Most people believed in a heaven and hell in 1960. They believed those things. Even when they weren't Christians, they believed that. And so to reach those people in 1960, churches did a lot of things where really all they had to do was just kind of nudge them over. They already believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They already believed that the Bible is the Word of God. They already believed that there's a heaven and a hell. And so it wasn't a huge stretch for people to say, you know, I need Jesus in my life or else I'm going to end up not in heaven but in hell. And so it wasn't a huge stretch for people to make that leap. Evangelistic or evangelical Christianity was at an all-time high at the end of the Dwight D. Eisenhower administration. So churches would have revivals. Revivals not to kind of renew the saints. You know, we had a revival in the fall with Dr. Jim Deal. That was great. And he reinvigorated us, and it was a great time for the church. But back in 1960, revivals were meant to evangelize. That's why you had revivals. And you'd go to your unsaved friends, and you'd say to them, hey, we're having a revival at our church. And they knew exactly what that meant. Because again, remember, people believed in a heaven and a hell. They believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They believed that the Bible is true. And so you would invite them to a revival. We want you to come to revival. And they knew that meant because we need you to get straightened around and get ready and get saved. And so people, you'd go up to them and say that in 1960 and say, hey, I want you to come to revival. And they'd go, oh, okay, sure. That's probably oversimplification, but it happened a lot of ways that way. And so churches had revivals just for that purpose. And churches had bus ministries where parents would leave their children on their front porch so that strangers in a bus would come and pick them up and take them to a church where they had never, ever visited so that they would learn Sunday school. People don't do that today. You try to tell them, hey, listen, I know you don't know me. You don't know the people on the bus. You don't know our church, but could your kids come? You know, no way. All this to say, the way we did things 50 years ago may not work today. And I would say the tools that I used even 25 years ago when I first started pastoring don't work today either. The world has changed. I've told people a lot of times that I work harder now pastoring than I did 25 years ago and see less results. The world has changed. Let me give you a few statistics from the Barna Group. That's a group that measures and surveys and does religious research in the United States. This is what they found. Actually, this was from, I think, 2 years ago. One-third of all adults, just one-third, 34%, believe that moral truth is absolute and unaffected by circumstances. 34% of people believe that. See, we believe that the Bible is the truth. We believe that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that there is some absolute truths. Half of the adults today firmly believe that the Bible is accurate with its principles and teaching. Half. That means half doesn't believe that. Just one quarter of adults, 27%, are convinced that Satan is a real force. 27% believe that. And only a minority of American adults, 40%, are persuaded that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life while here on earth. It's a different world from 1960. And I suppose people can look at those statistics and say, see, the world is getting bad, and it's getting really bad, and it's getting worse, and that's just what's going to happen. It's just getting bad, it's bad, it's really bad, it's getting worse, and one day Jesus is going to come, and we're all going to go to heaven, and then we'll get away from everybody. Or we could take the approach that God is giving us a great opportunity to reach lost people. Remember last week when we were talking about the world, we said how God is head over heels in love with the lost people. He's head over heels in love with people that don't currently know him. He is doing everything he can. In our theological tradition, we call that prevenient grace. He's doing everything he can to reach out to them, to love them, to share with them, to remind them of his great love. And so what that means is not that the world is just continually getting bad and bad and bad and God is taking his hands off it. In fact, just the opposite. It's saying, though, that we need to do things differently. We need to try other approaches. It's saying we need to take serious what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Remember that the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And what's the next line? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Where? On earth. On earth as it is in heaven. May your name be made holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done, not just in heaven, but right here, planet earth. May that be accomplished right here. So I like to pray that prayer. May your kingdom come, your will be done in Lenexa as it is in heaven. In Olathe as it is in heaven. At 14700 Village Drive in Olathe, my house, as it is in heaven. You see, Christians, I believe, ought to be the most optimistic people on the planet. If we truly believe the songs that we've been singing are true, if we really believe that God does have an endless supply of love that is reaching out to people, if we really do believe the song that we're going to close the service on today, the song we're going to close the service on is "Beautiful Things," and as we close the service with that song, if you remember it, it's one of the lines, the second verse of that song says, "All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you." And then it goes on to the chorus, "You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things even out of dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us." When you're a Christian, when you have this radical optimism that God is at work in our world, it's not just that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. We're saying that God is transforming. God is empowering. God is still at work. You see, we believe that God is making all things new. We believe that hope and life are possible. We believe that because of Jesus Christ, even the darkest, worst sinner can be made new. We believe that there is still hope in this world, that even when it seems that evil is winning the day, that Jesus Christ is winning the day. We believe that the kingdom of God, just as Jesus said, is at hand. We believe that James' words are true, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. We believe all those things. And so why do I tell you that? How does that relate to our four big goals? That has everything to do with our four big goals. That has everything to do with why we're trying to make more and better disciples. That has everything to do with why we want to connect with God, connect with each other, connect with our community, and connect with the world. See, I say, as we believe that, we believe that there is hope springing up from this old ground, that there is hope for this old world. And it's all about connecting. It's all about recreating culture. It's all about saying, "God, we want you to do a new thing among us." So you can help me this morning. I want us this morning to, as we wrap up this Connect service, to do something a little bit different. I want us, if we could, to look through these four big goals through the eyes of hope and what could happen and what could be. In the book of Joel, later quoted by Peter in the book of Acts, but the book of Joel, regarding the day of the Lord, this is what Joel writes. He says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And the sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, I don't know if I'm an old man dreaming dreams or a young man seeing visions. The more I look in the mirror and see that I have more salt than pepper in my hair, I think I'm an old man dreaming dreams. This week, Carla and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and on Facebook, I posted a picture, our wedding picture. And even my friends were coming to me and saying, "Now, we know it's Carla's the girl in the white dress on the left-hand side, but who's that skinny kid next to her, was she married before? Just who is that guy? That's me. I guess I'm an old man dreaming dreams. That's what that tells me. But I want you to join with me as we dream. I want us to have a hope-filled vision of what God could do over the next 5 years. If we live into our mission statement, making more and better disciples, if we really do connect with God and connect with each other and connect to the community and connect to the world, what will that look like? Now, I'm no prophet, as in the modern understanding of popular notion of prophet. I haven't looked in a crystal ball. I don't know that that would do me any good. God has not revealed the future to me in some sort of mystical way. Nothing like that's happened. I can't tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm a lifelong Lions fan. I can tell you who will not win the Super Bowl. That's all I can tell you. I don't know who's going to win it. But this morning, I'd like to not so much project future events, but rather in a classical biblical approach, I'd like to get us thinking hopefully and full of encouragement and optimism and the promise and wonder and creativity of what God could do over the next 5 years. I want us to think about that. If our prayers are answered, prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," in Lenexa at Central Church. What would that look like? If that happens, what would that look like? If we were here on March 17th, 2018, what would it look like? St. Patrick's Day, 2018, what would it look like? Well, for one, it'd look empty because St. Patrick's Day, 2018 is on a Saturday. And so, you know, you'd come here and say, where is everybody? So let's do 5 years in one day, March 18th, 2018, Sunday morning, if we were coming here, what would Central Church look like? If our prayers that we've been praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," at Central Church in Lenexa, what would it look like? Well, our babies, little Levi, he'll be getting ready for kindergarten roundup. That's what's going to happen in 5 years. And our third graders will be in the youth group. They'll be sitting up here. And Ben, hopefully you'll have graduated from college. Hopefully. You get 4 years out of us. Number five is on you. Our seventh graders will have serious senioritis. You know, they'll be ready. Some of us won't be here. Not that you're, you know, necessarily going to croak. Some of you may move to California or Florida, or, you know, with the weather cold outside, hopefully no one will move north. But, you know, I have some friends. We have people here from Florida today. And so, you know, you may want to travel down and visit them. Some of us, though, quite frankly, 5 years, some of us probably will be in heaven. Hopefully, we believe that there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And my prayer is that none of you, that all of you would be ready for that day and ready to meet Jesus. Truth is, not all of us will be living in Johnson County in 5 years. There'll be new families formed. There'll be marriages take place and babies will be born. No doubt there'll be a few tragedies that happened in 5 years, and there'll be some life-giving, hope-filled messages as well. We'll have a new president in 5 years. The Lions, again, still won't have won the Super Bowl. Jake, the Cubbies still won't have won the World Series. I'm sorry. It just won't happen in 5 years. But what about here? What will it look like here as we're making more and better disciples? If God's name is made holy, and his kingdom has come, and his will is done, at Central Church of the Nazarene, what will that look like? I think that means that as we connect with God, both in a personal level, you know, again, it's not just about our Sunday morning services, but as we connect with God, when you're spending time with God and his word, you're getting into it, you're spending time every day, you're seeking God's face, then what will happen is that will transform our services. You understand that, right? As you are individually and in your homes, you're praying and you're seeking God's face, and then you're gathering on Sunday morning, you'll be like, oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait to get to Sunday morning so that I can celebrate with my brothers and sisters in Christ and celebrate what God is doing. It'll be like the songwriter in Psalm 42. That said, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. That's what it'll be like. That you will hunger, you will want to be in the house of the Lord so that you can celebrate with others what God has been doing through the week. It'll be like the song that sometimes we sing, which is based on Psalm 82, that says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. We want to be with God's people. We want to be rejoicing with God. We want to be excited with what God is doing. And so my prayer is in 5 years that it'll be much more than a song or a psalm, that we will long to be in the house of the Lord, that we will long to see what God is doing, that we'll be excited and our friends will come and say, hey, listen, this is what happened to me this week and this is how God has been working and it's just so cool and what God is doing. That each of our services, and who knows, if we're making more disciples, then hopefully we'll have more services even. That each service, no matter what language it's spoken in, you know, we have Spanish service at soon to be 10:30, or the 5:30 service, or either one of the morning services, that each one of our services, that there's just the expectation, the common norm would be that we're going to have a supernatural encounter with God. And so we got to get to the Central Church that morning. Why? Because we're going to have a supernatural encounter with God. It's not just seeing our friends. It's not just talking about our week. It's not just talking about basketball games. But we're going to have a real encounter with God every week. See, that's the big goal, connecting with God. Whether you're here or at home or wherever you're at, you're connecting with God. Imagine what will take place if we really are serious about connecting with each other. 5 years of building community, 5 years of sharing life, 5 years of working together. Just imagine what could happen if that were to take place. See, here's what I would hope would happen. Of course, you're going to be in a small group. Why? Because that's where better disciples are made. And so you're in a small group, and you've been meeting with them. And maybe it's a Sunday school class, or maybe it's a home Bible study or whatever, but you're meeting with this small group. And let's just say that kid that's in third grade now is now an eighth grader, and they're starting to make some poor choices. And because you've been in this small group, and because you've been praying together, and because you've been sharing life together, and because you've been just doing life together, and you've been in God's word together, and every week you just come in, and it's just the natural thing. It's not a weird thing. It's a natural thing to become vulnerable among those group of people because you know you're safe in there. And so you go in there and you say, you know what? My daughter, this is what's happened this week. And we didn't teach her that way, and we didn't teach her how to do these things, but she's making some really poor choices. And rather just be people saying, yeah, we ought to pray for her, that small group says, man, we're gonna pray for her. And some of the people in that group say, you know what, I'm not just going to pray for her in here in this class and gather around you. I'm going to pray for her every single day. And somebody else comes up to you and say, you know what, we've been in this together and we've been hanging out together and we've been praying together and I'm committing, I'm going to fast every day. Or I'm going to fast once a meal, once a week. I'm going to take serious what you're telling us. We're not going to just let her go by the wayside. No, no, no. We're going to go before the God. A God who loves her. A God whose love never runs out. We're going to just keep on praying for her. And you can count on me. And if you need something, you call me. And if you just need somebody to talk to, then you come by. And it won't be weird. It won't be crazy. It'll be just natural. See, that's what happens when we're really connecting with each other. And when that child wakes up, because again, we believe in the prevenient grace of God. And we believe that something happens when people are praying. And obviously that child has a free will and that child can continue to turn their back on God. But we believe that God, Wesley used to say, the hounds of heaven are snipping at them. And I believe somehow that in intercessory prayer, as people and God's people are praying, that God works in great and mighty ways. And so when that child wakes up, you won't have to send out invitations to your small group. It won't have to be like the story of the prodigal son where you know, the word got out. It'll just be, boy, the word got out and she came home and let's rejoice. Why? Because we've loved her and we've cared for her. We've been praying for her. We've been fasting for her. We've been dying for this day. See, that's what happens when churches are really connected to each other. It's not a weird thing. It's the natural thing. It's the uncoached thing. It's the regular thing. And I'm convinced that people are dying to see authentic Christianity lived out today. See, we talked about all those people that they don't believe the Bible is true necessarily. They don't know if Jesus lived a sinful life or sinless life. They don't know about all that stuff. But I'm convinced what's compelling for those people that don't know if the Bible is true or not, those that don't know if there's a heaven and hell, don't know if Jesus is God's son, what's going to reach them is not asking them to pick up their kids on Sunday morning on a bus. What's going to reach them when they see transformed lives, not phony, not fake, not perfect, but real people with real issues being transformed by the power and the love of Jesus Christ. Imagine if in 5 years, Central Church is so connected to each other and so connected to God that even those that know nothing about Christ say, I want to be a part of that group. There's something going on at the place where you go to church, and I don't know what it is, but I want to be a part of that. Imagine if in 5 years we really connect with our community in a powerful way. What will that look like? Well, it would be maybe Pastor Andy that there'd be a waiting list for mentors at Rising Star. We wouldn't be begging for mentors. We'd have a waiting list. Count me in. If it means helping out a child that just needs somebody to care for them, count me in. It would mean if we're really reaching out to our community that, you know, the food pantry would keep on going, and what would happen is the people that we get to serve would be telling their friends and neighbors, not just because we have the best groceries, but because when they come here, they're treated with dignity and respect. And they would say, you know what? They're dispensing food, but they're dispensing a lot more than food. And every time I go there, I sense the love of Jesus Christ, and you ought to go there too. See, that's what will happen when we're really making a difference in our community. And imagine what will happen if we connect with our world in a greater way. Imagine what will happen in Cuba in the next 5 years. I don't know. I think the sky's the limit. But as we send teams down there, as we form friendships, as you learn their names and they learn your name, as you're praying, if you are sponsoring a church and a pastor and you've got the list, you know the church name, and every day you're committing to praying for that church and you're praying for that pastor and you're praying for those people and you're just learning them, and then you go down there and you meet them and they meet you, I think the sky's the limit of what God can do. See, we'll be a better church because of it. Cuba will be better because of it. Just imagine what God can do. See, again, this is a plan. This is a plan to recreate culture. We're living in a culture that is growing less and less Christian. And like the early church, where the early believers, they were living in a culture that knew nothing about Christianity. And like the church in Cuba, they were living in a culture where it was very much against Christianity for many, many years. And like what's happening today in many parts of the world that are living in a dangerous place, where being a faithful believer is very, very dangerous, we need to be people who are living out our faith. It's called being the church. It's being connected. It's not thinking of missionaries as just those people that we send off. It's not just David and Jody Cooper or Brad and Nancy Firestone that are missionaries, but it's Rob Prince, a missionary, on Village Drive. It's you, a missionary, on your street or in your workplace or in your school. And it's saying, I want to be a part of a people that understand that I need to be connected. I need to be connected to God, but I also need to be connected to my brothers and sisters. And I need to be connected to the community, and eventually I need to be connected to the world. That's how we make more and better disciples. You see, we are people of hope. We are people of hope. That means that we refuse to believe that just because the culture is going in one direction, that God is done. We believe that God can make all things new, and He can transform our culture into something powerful and glorious.